This portion of the show is brought to you by Namarco's Pizza in Flagstaff.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Angela's sitting here with me. I've got Tom Pearson coming up from Flagstaff First. These guys are, they just met with the Flagstaff Sustainability Department, and Flagstaff's trying to do this climate resiliency thing, and you know, they want everybody to switch to electric and things like that. So yeah. They had a meeting. And I think like 50 people showed up, so I wanted to find out what's going on in this sustainability department. It used to be a division, but now it's a whole department that they
got their own wing at the city hall.
they got their own business cards and everything. Or they wouldn't use business cards because that wouldn't be environmentally friendly.
Yeah,
well, they use recycled paper, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. So anyway, Tom Pearson coming up here in just a second. I wanted to start off, though, with some comments that Senator Joe Manchin said the other day that I haven't had time to get to because we've been covering so much and so much has been going on, especially with Trump and all that, regarding the economy and regarding the amount of debt and the amount of spending that the U.S. has taken on. So here's what he said. Manchin came out and he, remember that Fitch Credit Agency downgraded the U.S. Like a notch on its credit rating.
Yes.
Here recently.
Uh-huh.
And Senator Joe Manchin, he comes out, and this is an article from The Blaze, and he attributes the U.S. credit rating downgrade to, quote, historic failure of leadership by both political parties and the executive branch. Makes sense. I agree with him on that.
And he just figured this out now?
Well, it took a while because he had to spend some money first. So
he had to vote a lot of yeses before he could determine what was really going on here.
Yeah, so Fitch Ratings, like I said, downgraded in credit rating. And here's what Manchin was saying. The downgrading of America's credit rating by Fitch represents a historic failure of leadership by both political parties and the executive branch. The credit agency specifically cited the decline in governance, erosion of cooperation in the federal government, and ballooning national debt when making the determination to lower our credit rating. This is a stark warning that cannot be ignored. We must act now. We must act now to fully fund the government. Wait a second. What does that mean? Why would we act to fully fund the government when we're saying, shouldn't
seems
we like
to be like we're overfunding the
government?
Yeah,
shouldn't Manchin be saying we need to act now and fund the government by 75% of current levels,
yeah.
Or no, 50% of current levels. And then he goes on to say, and address our national debt before we wake up to a future where America's superpower status is in jeopardy and we have lost the confidence of our allies around the world. Every American will suffer if Washington politics get in the way of long-term solutions that address these challenges, the Democrat declared. I'd say most Americans are already suffering from the politics and the decisions that these people are making in Washington, D.C. But what am I, 7 years into this show?
Yeah.
When I started this show, I think we were at 20 trillion.
It was like 21, maybe?
21 yeah. trillion dollars is our national debt. This would have been 2017, right before President Trump took office, and all these presidents, including Trump, have added a tremendous amount to our national debt. The national debt is now, I checked the debt clock, debtclock.org, and it's at 33, almost, it's like $33 trillion. It's probably more by now, as I checked it like this morning.
Yeah, well, it never stops. It just keeps going.
Yeah, it just
up,
keeps so, zipping yeah. around. Your head will blow up if you try to watch this thing. So, yeah, this thing's just spinning round and round and round and round. And was he not? Manchin's been in there that whole time. He's been in there as long as I've been doing this show.
Right.
I mean, did he not hear people like me?
Other people have been shouting this from the rooftops.
It's just not me.
And then, you know, all of a sudden it's clear to him now. It's
not
make sense to me.
Okay, so he wants us to act. Here's a couple of clippings from Manchin's website, July 27th, 2022. It was a long time ago. It was like a year ago, right?
Yeah, like 18 months ago. That's a long time.
That's a long time. So anyway, Manchin supports Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. So last year, here's the press release. U.S. Senator Joe Manchin announced he has reached an agreement with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to vote on the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 will address record inflation by paying down our national debt.
Okay. It has done nothing.
It's done nothing. And this is a year ago.
Except, I mean, the inflation's just as bad. Well, no, it's gotten better recently.
It's ticked down, but when the Federal Reserve came out and said inflation was going to be transitory, after they had said we don't have an inflation problem, after they pumped trillions of dollars in the economy, you know, I was saying, hey, this is transitory. We're transiting to a new higher level of pricing. Mm-hmm. So we did that. All the prices went up. Some things doubled. I mean, the inflation numbers are totally bogus. You know, if you go to the grocery store, gas is creeping back up, by the way. It's getting to that $4 range once again. And those pricing just came up, and they stayed up, and now they're going to go up. They're just going to slow down and go up maybe 4% a year or something. Who knows what's going to happen? It could go up a lot more. It plateaued, so everybody's paying a lot more. So Manchin came up with the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Oh, he didn't come up with it. He was one of the holdouts, and then he finally signed on to it. And they actually had the nerve to call this the Inflation Reduction Act, and come to find out it's actually one of the biggest climate spending bills in history. This was basically them sneaking the Green New Deal through under the guise of inflation, reducing inflation, which was impacting so many Americans at the time. So he voted for that thing. That's his press release. So here he is saying, this was just like last week, that, hey, we got to address the spending. We got a spending problem. We just got downgraded on our credit rating. August 10th, 2021. So even way further back in time, that's like 2 years. Mm-hmm. Just about 2 years ago, right? Senate passes Manchin's, this is his bill, bipartisan infrastructure bill. And this was a press release on his website to watch Senator Manchin deliver remarks on the Senate floor. Click here, blah, blah. West Virginia benefits from the bipartisan infrastructure bill can be found here, blah, blah, blah. He's just touting how great this spending bill was. Let's see. Infrastructure bill was $1.2 trillion. It was called November of 2021 when it was actually signed. It's a $1.2 trillion Infrastructure and Investment Jobs Act. Mm-hmm. That was his baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's responsible for $1.2 trillion of this stuff. So again, back to what he's saying now, we must act now to fully fund the government, address the national debt. That's what he's saying now. A year ago, he votes for the Inflation Reduction Act. 2 years ago, he votes for the infrastructure bill. Let me go through this whole list of everything that he's voted for. And I'm not just pointing out him. He's the one that opened his mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he recognizes this, but really, come on.
Well, do you think it really was like the light bulb moment? Or, I mean, to me, it just, had to have known this whole time that the debt was ticking up with every signature he did.
That's pretty pathetic
Does he think people are that now they're going to listen to him and like he's, you know, I'm on it now.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm really going to do something now.
Yeah. We got a spending problem now all of a sudden. I don't know anymore the level of intelligence of these people. I just don't know.
There's some other angle he's trying to get at. Or
I think he's up for election in 2024.
Yeah, he's trying to get votes or whatever.
He's in West Virginia, you know, and West Virginians are probably pretty pissed off at what's going on.
Right.
And how the economy is. Biden keeps saying how great it is, but, you know, we keep racking up all these debts and everybody's underwater. So it's not great. It's great if you got room on your credit card. You know, you can keep things floating. Here's Manchin's. Here's what he spent. Here's what he's agreed to spend. And it's not just him. He's one of the few centrist Democrats, if there is such a thing. He's one that could become an independent and leave the Democrat Party. So imagine the others in his party and their mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So March of 2020, keep in mind, that's the beginning of the COVID hysterics and lunacy and idiocy led by people in government and many others. To March 2020, Coronavirus Preparedness and Response Supplemental Appropriations Act. That was a small one, $8.3 billion. We send that to Ukraine like almost every week now.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a drop in the bucket.
So he supported that. March 2020, Families First Coronavirus Response Act. That was $225 billion. March of 2020, again in the midst of, right at the beginning of COVID, really, mm-hmm. and the insanity, they pass The $2.2 trillion CARES Act created the Paycheck Protection Program, and it sent like $1,200 checks to most American families. You remember all that?
This was that.
Yeah, Trump did that, but he was it had to go through Congress first, and he voted for this thing.
Yeah.
So $225 billion there. $2.2 trillion. I get confused. The numbers are crazy. Move that over on the slide, the abacus. April of 2020, so that was a whole month later, right? Mm-hmm. That's when the illustrious leaders throughout the United States locked things down. That's when the mayor started going crazy. Mm-hmm. And you remember, we need to remind people this because I think people just forgot that this happened, right? Your governors, even former Governor Ducey here in Arizona, the so-called super conservative, you know, he shut down the bars. Or you could go to a bar if they serve food, you know, but if they didn't have pretzels out there, you couldn't go. You couldn't go tubing down the Salt River.
Well, like in California, they criminalized going to the beach and, you know, you don't leave your house. And
remember they tackled that surfer. Remember them watching that video.
Yeah, they arrested people that were out. And
this is what happened and nobody was ever held accountable.
Criminalized breathing fresh air. You got to
put on the mask or two masks outside. We had to go to a graduation and they wanted us to wear a mask. Isabel's graduation outside. That's how stupid these people are. Where's your apology for that? That school.
And that was a year after.
That was a year after. 2020. Yeah. And thanks NPA for that graduation. Anyway, $2.2 trillion. April 2020, just a whole month later, $483 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program Act, whatever. Manchin voted for that. So it's not dawning on him all along this process, you know, these months of spending. And bailouts and this and that, that, hey, maybe we have a problem here because this is really starting to tally up. Okay. We take a little break. Then Congress wants to get out of there. You know, by December of 2020, it's really hit the fan by then. $920 billion appropriations bill that sent $600 stimulus checks to Americans. And it also expanded the unemployment benefits by $300 per week. This is when people stopped working. Mm-hmm. Remember? So in addition to your state benefits, people are getting a $300 per week federal kick. And then on top of that, the feds and the state, even Ducey in here in Arizona said you can't be kicked out of your home even if you don't pay your rent. So you're collecting unemployment. This is when the
extra unemployment
plus stimulus checks. Then you're being told to stay home and you can't get kicked out of your home. So this is when inflation starts ripping and the Federal Reserve's like, this is just transitory. That's where we were in history at this point. Inflation's ripping because you're sitting at home. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to do anything. You're being told by your governor to stream Netflix and order stuff on Amazon. So that's what you're doing. So people aren't working or producing the goods, but more people are ordering all of this stuff. So we get the supply shortages and all that crap we went through. All caused by government. This was all caused by the government.
And all voted for by
the people.
Yeah.
So the people voted for the stupid government that caused this insanity. Then March 20 of 2021, the American Rescue Plan Act, so this is a full year later after they spent all this other money initially, American Rescue Plan Act, $1.9 trillion sent $1,400 checks to Americans. So now you're really not working and you're sitting at home watching Netflix and ordering stuff and causing massive inflation. So we get through all of that. And Manchin's sitting here, and I guess he's not tallying this up as we're going. Maybe doesn't realize inflation. Maybe he was like former Vice President Pence, and he goes to the gas station, but he's fake pumping.
Yeah.
And he says, bing, 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 and he doesn't really understand what's going on because they don't live in the same world as us, right? Mm-hmm. Again, I'll go back to that Oliver Anthony song, Rich Men North of Richmond. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. They live in a bubble. Everything is catered to them. It's kind of like the French, the court of what Louis the whatever he was, 14th or whatever, the one that eventually got the you know, the guillotine,
off with the head,
and then Napoleon came in. By the way, I saw there's a preview with Joaquin Phoenix for a Napoleon movie.
Oh, really?
We may be going to see that. Get ready for the carnage. I think that's coming out in November. He's a good actor, though.
Lots of blood, I guess.
He might do a good job on that one, if they're historically accurate. And let's hope history doesn't repeat itself. But anyway, $1.2 trillion Infrastructure and Investment Jobs Act, November of 2021. Then they do that. So all of a sudden now we got to invest in our infrastructure. We just spent trillions for people, you know, sitting at home eating bonbons and ordering from Netflix. Let's get the infrastructure fixed because eventually people are going to drive back to work, right?
The RV they just bought.
Yeah, all those RVs. I'm still waiting for that big sale to happen. All those people that got the I'm going to live in the forest on the road thing that happened for like a year and a half. And then people realized, I guess I got to find a permanent home. Oh, well, watch out. Interest rates are getting up to 8% now.
Well, we're just going to go camping and it's going to be so fun.
Oh, it's
going to
be so fun until like week.
Until, yeah, there's bugs and it's a lot of work and it's crowded.
You're like, I want a home with like a foundation at least or something like that. And then the final one he spent and agreed to, and this was August of 2022, so just last year, the aforementioned $740 billion Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which a lot of people claim is more like $1.2 billion, something like that. Anyway, I don't know if you can add this all accurately because...
Yeah, I was just going to say, so you're telling me that he's signed his name on like at least $2 to $3 trillion.
No. More than that. More than that. You see, this is the problem. It was so much money that the calculator broke, just like you couldn't keep track of it. So Manchin couldn't keep track of it and realize he was spending so much. It was just a party. It was a drunken orgy that was going on of spending. And they just lost track. They just didn't know. That's why we vote for these people. You know, we want to have cooler heads to prevail. No, they just went on a spending binge.
Like $500 billion at a time, and it just adds up.
So that was from March of 2020 through August of 2022. So just over a two-year period. This is the number I came up with. I'm sure it's more than this because government always lies and spends a lot more. $7.7 trillion.
That's just on the bills, or is that the budgets and stuff?
No, that does not budgets. Does not include the appropriations bill for the federal budget for, you know, Social Security, all that stuff. Mm. Look, the federal budget every year is over $6 trillion now. That's that's discretionary spending for military, $800 billion and something there. Then you got to add in Social Security, Medicare, all the things that keep the lights on in the government cubicles. That's like over $6 trillion now. This is additional. This is 7.7. So let's look at a two-year period. Two years, let's say there's $12 trillion in government spending plus seven. So he went on a 18, 19 trillion, probably $20 trillion spending spree. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the problems we have, you know, and he's all of a sudden, so he's responsible for so many trillions of dollars. I can't even add it up correctly at this point, and neither can he. He has no clue. He never read all these things. He doesn't know where the money's going. So in a two and a half year period, yeah, he's spending 18, 19, $20 trillion that we don't have. What are tax revenues over that time period? Generally speaking, the federal government takes in about, let's call it $4 trillion a year. So they took in $8 trillion and they spent probably 18. Uh-huh. So $10 trillion deficit at least. So you wonder why we have a $33 trillion federal budget. You wonder why we have a federal budget deficit. You wonder why we have massive inflation.
Senator Manchin.
Yeah, maybe you can get together with your buddies. Because if this light bulb is just going off for you, most of your other people there that can't even count to three, it hasn't even occurred to them yet that this is the source of the problem.
Well, that's really sad. How can any advisor or group discussing stuff or, you know, researching things not come back with, you know that we don't have the money for this, right?
It is a good question. And, I wish we could ask Senator Manchin and many of the others that, as well, including Senator Kyrsten Sinema right here in Arizona, who went along with all of this spending as well. Is she aware of the inflationary problems that she's caused with all these folks? All right. If you're thinking about selling your home right now, and you want to get some of those dollar bills in your hand, look, homeowners all over Flagstaff trust Kelly Broaddus and her team to price their home correctly. She's going to get a lot of eyes on your home. You get a lot of eyes on your home, the demand goes up. She does that by presenting your home correctly, by getting the professionals in there to photograph it correctly, to stage it correctly. She takes this so seriously. She'll put a lot of money into making sure that you sell your home for top dollar. You get top dollar. She's the best out there. Called the only agent that I would call if I needed to sell a home right now in Flagstaff and surrounding areas. And that's Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by EXP. Find Kelly online by Googling her, Kelly Broaddus, Broaddus, or you can get an instant valuation by going to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com, or give Kelly a call at 888-446-5602.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones. And of course, that's where they're going to send you. And that may cause delays and may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible, right on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips, and by the time we got back, the Flagstaff is pretty much, you know, spider webbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. So Manchin realizes now that we've spent too much money and that we got to do something about this, because the world is looking at the U.S. and saying, oof, you're spending too much money, and you got all these treasuries you want us to buy, and you're supposed to be the world's reserve currency and act responsibly. But clearly, we haven't.
So did he just state this? Like, okay, this is a fact. Was there any, like, I pledge to not...
No.
Sign on to any more spending bills. Yeah, or...
I didn't see that.
So what is he going to do? What's the point of even saying this?
Re-election, I guess. I don't know. You're trying to rationalize something that's irrational.
No, wondering if up with some kind of plan, or I'm going to...
Yeah, here's what we're going to do. This is really simple stuff. You need to cut... Look, you need to do a couple different things. Either need to cut spending on the federal side and government side in general drastically, which is what I advocate for. Mm-hmm. Massive cuts. It'd be brutal. Mm-hmm. Be ugly. That's what this country needs. 50%. I'd get this thing down. I know it sounds brutal, but that's what it's going to take.
Well, that was what Trump was supposed to do. Yeah, he didn't.
Or you raise taxes. I don't want to do that. No. That'll stifle and destroy the economy. But if you're going to go on spending sprees, if you're going to do all this stuff, you need to be honest and say, well, we got to raise taxes to pay for this. We got to pay for this.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a war? We got to pay for it. You want to hand out free money? We got to pay for it. Instead, what they did is they did it stealthily and by lying through inflation.
Yeah.
We will just print a bunch of money.
Totally irresponsible.
Yeah. And the smart people in there know by printing a bunch of money, you get the inflation tax.
Well, they don't care, because they got a lot of money. They got
a lot of money.
Yeah.
The Richmond north of Richmond, right? This guy nailed that. Perfect.
Pence doesn't know what to do with the gas pump, because his car just comes, picks him up whenever he wants, and exactly. He doesn't have to get gas.
Yeah. They're totally disconnected with the rest of America. But you got to cut spending drastically. And honestly, if you really wanted to bite into national debt, you'd have to cut the spending drastically and probably raise taxes at the same time and try to grow the economy. We are in an almost impossible situation now.
It's a spiral.
It's a spiral that these people have gotten us into, that they have no clue how to get us out of this. There are very few avenues for us as a country at this point. And that's why you had to downgrade. That's why people are meeting August 22nd on the BRIC countries. They know that this is a downward spiral, because there's a lot of smart people in the world, and they study history, and they see that this has never worked in the history of the world before, that a nation has been able to do this and do it for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. So you go, Manchin. Let's see what you're going to do about all those problems. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I did see mortgage rates are going up again because of these, the interest and the treasuries and bonds and inflation and all that. And investors, you know, they want more money to take those risks. Look, if you need to get a mortgage, though, if you're trying to buy a home, That's why it's more important than ever before to work with the best out there. And that's Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. And I know because I've worked with Kim. She's done a refinance for Angela and I here just last year. You can get a pre-approval letter in hand. That's the first thing you got to try to do, meet with her and say, hey, how much money do I qualify for? So that way buyers know you're serious because there is limited inventory out there and they want that. So call Kim Dawson with Nova Home Loans. She'll be able to help you out. Nova is the largest privately owned mortgage lender in the state, but they have the ability to do things like a broker so they can find the best programs for you. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans at 928-310-6458. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, by the way, save $250 off the lender's fee at closing. 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right. When I come back, Tom Pearson is going to talk about his meeting and his group's meeting with the Flagstaff Sustainability Commission or Department, not Commission, Division, Department now. Hang tight. It changes all the time. Keeps growing. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, let's get caught up with, this is an interesting issue. It's right in line with what Mark and I have been talking about a lot. Everything's climate change nowadays. And anything that happens, climate change. And it takes these people like 3 seconds to tie it together. Everything is climate change. And now, a good example here, the city of Flagstaff has a sustainability department. It used to be like a division within the city, but now they have a whole department and it's like entwined into everything.
Everything.
Tom Pearson's with us with Flagstaff First. Had a meeting the other day at the Flagstaff Aquaplex with the sustainability director, I guess. Tom, how you doing today?
That's right. Oh, good, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good. You had a good turnout of here, like 50 people.
Yeah, we had pretty close to 50, and it was a good turnout. And Nicole Antonopoulos, the director of the sustainability office, was there, and also Eric Nielsen, the chief sustainability officer at NAU. He was also there, plus two of Nicole's staff members. So they had a significant group. And they made a very formal presentation that was, very polished and so forth. The one thing that really surprised me about it was, to us anyway, they were focusing on other things other than the classic carbon neutrality stuff. They did not talk that much about eliminating carbon in the atmosphere and all that sort of thing, because I think they're still reeling from the trip of that John Kerry made recently, to China, and he was completely rebuffed there. And I think they're still reeling from that negative impact. The New York Times had a headline that said, "China's Z rebuffs Kerry's call for faster climate action." So I think that may have had an impact on the focus. The focus of their presentation to us was mostly about the other benefits of the carbon neutrality.
Let me back up here because John Kerry was the climate czar under Biden or whatever. Is that what they're calling him now?
Yeah, climate czar, right?
Climate czar, which sounds very Soviet-esque. But anyway, that's a whole other story. He goes to China, and the Chinese, whose economy relies on lots of coal, and they're building like a coal plant a week. So they're one of the biggest polluters out there along with India. And I imagine a lot of that sifts over the oceans heading over here. Meanwhile, the powers that be, shall we say, Tom, are trying to restrict. I mean, we saw the loss of the coal plant here in northern Arizona. Navajo Nation lost that supply of coal where they 200-year supply they got. They have nowhere to send it now.
Yep.
So we're dealing with a China, an industrialized China that's building plants. They know they got to power their economy. So it was a wake up call because you're telling me China was basically like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah. You know, China had in 2019, China had 60 coal-fired power plants under construction. And right now they have, I think it's 24 nuclear power plants under construction. So, yep. Can I just touch on one of the questions that was asked?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of telling. Professor Nielsen was asked, since China, India, and Russia together produce over three times U.S. CO2 emissions and are increasing their output each year, can all U.S. carbon neutrality plans combined change the trajectory of global warming without these countries cooperating? Hmm. And he did not answer that question directly. Instead, he argued about how China and India were third world countries. China produced more electric cars and solar panels than anybody else. He said something about, you know, CO2 in the atmosphere for decades longer. The U.S. had been putting CO2 in the atmosphere for decades longer than China and India, things like that. So he really was, you know, they were really trying to avoid, and maybe it was just because they knew this audience was not too amenable to that. But I really think that that trip of Kerry's to China, where he was completely rebuffed, and, you know, in China, saving face is very important. And he did not, they did not allow him to save face. They had sent him home empty handed. I really think that that was the final nail in the coffin of carbon neutrality actually having an impact on, you know, global warming.
If you can't get China and India on board and Russia on board, forget about it. I hope that he at least got a parting gift of some mushrooms like Janet Yellen got. But another story there. Well, I mean,
you know what? Just one more thing about that. During the negotiations, just to put a cherry on the ice cream here, President Xi made a speech in which he said China was going to follow its own path. This is not part of the negotiations. It was separate. He said, and there's a quote, "The pathway and means for reaching this goal," that's carbon neutrality, "and the tempo and intensity should be and must be determined by ourselves and never under the sway of others." Mm, I mean, that is telling an insult.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we would say.
That's what we should say.
As the U.S., we'd say, hey, we are self-determined for our future as far as what we're going to do. And China's going to say the same thing. We're an independent country.
So China's saying what some were saying here not too long ago, America first. They're saying China first.
Who said that?
This is what, honestly, yeah, this is what sovereign nations should do. They should be looking out for the welfare and benefit of their citizens. This should be a wake-up call to the climate zealots out there that blame everything on climate change, that want us to decarbonize and want us to go all electric, want to destroy our appliances after they already destroyed the gas can and the light bulb. They want to destroy all that stuff. This should be a wake-up call that one of the biggest industrial powers out there, one of the upcoming powers as well, India and in Russia, a big chunk of the world that's producing things and so much is produced in China, is saying, yeah, we're not going to go that route. If we go this route as America and they don't, they're going to eat our lunch. They must be laughing over there at the idiots that we have in power, quite frankly.
Well,
Tom,
do you remember the Paris Climate Accords?
Yeah, that Trump got us out of.
Trump got us out.
And then we're back in.
Biden got us right back
in. Right back in that stupid thing.
With the requirements of what we're doing is so much bigger than what China is requiring. I mean,
yeah,
what we can do is to change is a drop in the bucket.
It is. If you buy into that we're causing all this problem and global warming's hitting, climate change is this, climate change that is causing all these problems, my next question to anybody out there is, what are you really going to do about it other than make our lives miserable in the process, Tom?
Right, exactly. And, you know, the other geopolitical aspect of this is that as we go more and more towards getting wind and solar and EVs, we are becoming more and more dependent on China because all of the raw materials for those items are controlled by China. China controls 79% of the polysilicate. That's what you need to make solar panels. They make 97% of the wafers. That's the little black things in there. And they sell or they produce 75% of the panels. The same thing is true with the batteries. They control 90% of the manganese, 73% of the cobalt, 70% of the graphite. They control all of those things. They make 77% of the world's cathodes, 92% of the world's anodes. It just goes on and on. As we get more and more dependent on solar power, battery power, wind power, We are just putting ourselves in their hands to control us. We'll be vassals of China before we know it.
Yeah, and they've done a tremendous effort. China, I'm talking, of buying up resources around the world. They,
especially in Africa.
Africa's all over the place. So, yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Mark and I have hit on this with your EV cars, and we hit EVs earlier. 4,000 pounds of batteries under this Tesla that's sitting in my front yard right now. And where do you think that comes from?
Well, Tom made a really good point. All these politicians in America are pushing for more solar power.
Yeah.
And that's basically saying buy more made in China.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get more business to China.
And do you think China is producing those solar panels with OSHA regulations and
labor laws and this and that?
No,
yeah.
Come on.
They're probably whipping up the coal plants and the nuclear plants, which we refuse to do over here. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. That's right. It's not only the batteries for the cars, because as we go more and more towards solar and wind, those are variable power supplies. The wind doesn't always blow. The sun doesn't always shine. So we have to buy huge, massive batteries to store up the electricity when it's being made, to give it out when the sun's set and when the wind's not blowing. So we're going to have to go more and more towards batteries, again, more and more stuff for China. It's just, we're just putting ourselves, in their hands to control us any way they want.
Tom Pearson's with us with Flagstaff First. So at this meeting, and you met with the sustainability director, who I actually worked with when I was down there for a short time for a term on the city council. She was always polite and easy to work with. I don't know much about her beyond that. I know she's really, really into sustainability, which to me, that can be a lot of things. To me, sustainability is localized things. Can you farm? Can you garden? Are you doing things to thin the forests? Are you not polluting our streams and rivers? Because we often get labeled, and Mark, you probably get this, Tom, you probably get this, as, oh, you want the creeks on fire. You want to drain all the water. You want to do this. And that's just about the dumbest thing. I want to do things that actually have an impact, Tom. And I think what these people are trying to do is they're trying to solve some problem. I mean, we got the governor in Arizona putting out a heat declaration, a heat emergency, which is just the dumbest thing, because now they're at war with heat. They're trying to do things that are impossible, absolutely impossible, right, instead of real things, right, oftentimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sustainability staff is excellent. They're very professional. They've just been given the wrong tasking. What they need to be, and this is something we're working on, we have a petition that we're circulating and getting signatures on. We're going to be at the fair, so anybody who wants to sign this petition to help out, please come to our booth at the fair. The petition is to put wildfire, flooding, and drought at the top of the priority list for the carbon neutrality plan. Mm-hmm. We want to give the sustainability department tasking that will actually help the people of Flagstaff.
Yeah, I guess if you're concerned about carbon going up into the atmosphere, the forest fire would be the biggest thing in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, oh, it's the carbon, this is the problem. I mean, for me, just forest health in general is important, not even on the carbon aspect, but just on our livelihoods, our life, our property, the health of the forest.
Well, one of the things Jeff and Tom are coming up against in this next year is we're going to be reviewing the city building codes and Flagstaff amendments and the new energy code. And one of the things I'm going to be pushing for is what I call passive solar. In other words, putting windows on the right place in your house so that your eaves shade them in the summer months, let the warm sunshine through in the winter months. And you can save a ton of energy that way, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's just smarter ways to build your house and to build a house that's more durable. One of the former city staffers down there pointed out, he's like, you have to build your house durable enough so that the trees and the raw materials can be reproduced. You know, the trees can grow back that you use to build your house. You know, build yourself a house that's going to last 200 years, not 50.
Oh, that's a good point. You know? Yeah, not this junk.
Don't build junk. That's sustainability to me is build quality.
You know what's not sustainable? Let me point this out, Tom and Mark. I was driving by a new neighborhood that's being put in off of Butler Avenue, and they cut a road in through the forest, right? Yep. So they had to cut the trees. I get that. That's fine. But they put the road in, and then in the center median, they have all these stupid trees that they planted. It's like you've got a wall of trees on both sides that grow naturally here.
Yep.
Ponderosa pine trees. We live in the largest contiguous ponderosa pine forest in the world. And the city code, they made them put these stupid deciduous trees by asking aspens and things like that in the middle that require water that are totally unnecessary. I wish we would get a code that looks at the actual situation, says there's a wall of trees on both sides. We're complaining about water usage. We have enough trees. You don't need to put these in there. That's right. Just some common sense there, but.
And then shade the roads and make the roads icy.
On that, where this is, woof, right. It's going to be an ice pit. So yeah, I'd like to see common sense. Okay, Tom, Flagstaff First is going to have a booth at the Flagstaff, the Coconino County Fair coming up.
Labor Day,
early September. When is that? First
September
weekend?
September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Right.
Yeah, it won't be there the 1st. It's opening of dove season, so sorry about that. But I'll try to get there over the weekend. Please send me an email to remind me so I can have people go to your booth and sign this, because I think you have some – it sounds like common sense to me. Let's focus on some real things local, not worry so much about the big global scheme of things. Do your part locally, and I think we'll be okay. Tom?
That'll do it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Gold has been a safe haven asset throughout history. Jeff Horovitz here. In fact, gold has returned 18% over the last 3 years and 54% over the last 5, which easily trumps government bonds and high-yield savings accounts. I protect my retirement by investing a portion of my assets in gold and silver, and I rely on Justin at Desert Gold Exchange for expert advice on the best way to invest and to always get the lowest commissions guaranteed. Desert Gold Exchange, based right here in Arizona, deals exclusively in physical gold and silver, not a piece of paper. As a family-owned firm, Desert Gold Exchange keeps overhead low so they can pass those savings on to you. Call to get your questions answered or to request your free investor's kit with no pressure and no obligation. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, our family serving yours. All right, welcome back. Love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I also like when you comment on our giveaway. I'd like to get a few more names in the hat for this month's giveaway. We've got $50 over at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Great food there. Check that out. Also, Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They've put in a $50 cash debit card, so you can use this debit card anywhere. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, company I use to get my HVAC units fixed, repaired, and eventually when this older unit goes out here in Flagstaff, I'll have them come put a new, higher efficient one in, something that's not the size of half the room. Go to Gettles, GoettlesHDM, GoettlesHDM.com. Get more information. Plus, you can always give them a call. I recommend you give them a call here soon to get your heater serviced, because before you know it, winter is coming, and you're going to be popping that heater on. And I always think people should get these things inspected like once a year. You talk to Gettles; they're the experts. I'm no expert. I tell you what I do. I get mine inspected every year for, you know, make sure it's working properly, get it cleaned, carbon monoxide testing, things like that. Give them a call. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They'll help you out. 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. More to come in hour two of the show. I hope you'll tune in. If you ever have to drop out, though, and you can't listen to the whole show, you can get the podcast on your smartphone. Just look up Horovitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, on your favorite podcast app, or on your computer. Just go to talkwithjeff.com. We've got video and the audio up there. You can listen to it anytime, anywhere you go. Hang tight. Back in a few. This portion of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Welcome, everyone. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be back with you. Olivia joins me this time, this hour.
Oh, Angela's with us. Son.
Yeah,
I'm all glad the other
we've
stuff.
Had comments pile
everything
up.
Else we will get to.
I've got some news items I want to hit on as well. We talked extensively about the spending that's going on in the U.S., and that was last hour. If you missed the beginning of the show, I was talking about how Manchin, Senator Manchin's going around saying that, you know, the U.S. is spending too much after he had voted for at least $7.5 trillion in stimulus packages and COVID relief. And then on top of all the federal budgets, like $20 trillion now, he's saying, hey, we're spending too much and this is impacting our credit. Fitch Ratings has downgraded the U.S.'s credit. And now there's an interesting thing happening with mortgage rates. They're starting to pump up once again. They've been holding around the 7% range. Looks like mortgages right now on a 30-year fixed are about 7.2%. Some are worrying that it's going to be heading to 8% here because investors are going to be demanding more interest because they perceive it as a higher risk. That's how the economy is supposed to work. When something's higher risk, you say, hey, I need more interest here to accommodate that. So I want to hit on that. Plus, Olivia, you said you got a bunch of comments, so we'll try to get through a few of those, give out the email, and also remind everyone we still have the giveaway up there, and I want people to participate in that so we have some more names to draw because we haven't pushed it much.
The email is talkwithjeff@icloud.com. But go ahead and enter in the giveaway because then you can enter and leave a comment at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're accepting it once a week, so you can do it multiple times.
I forgot to mention that, too, if you've entered already. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, so you can do it again and increase your chances.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Go to talkwithjeff.com under sponsors and giveaways or right at the top.
Okay, before we get to that, and I got a couple news items, and an item on Target. Remember how they had that controversy over the LGBT displays they had and the tuck stuff and all that weird stuff? It's not working out too good for them. It's not exactly Bud Light type of response, but it's a similar reaction that Americans are having over these woke companies getting involved in this very controversial issue. Before I do that and get to all that, though, remember right now is a good time to call Carl or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, because before you know it, fall's here. This is a very busy time to get these gutter, this number one gutter protection system in. It's a multi-patented reverse curve to flex all your pine needles. You don't want to be up on your roof in the fall or even in the winter trying to unclog those gutters, and then next thing you know, the gutters are freezing and you're having your roof all jam up with ice and then you got leaks and stuff. I want you to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now. This is an awesome system. They've installed a bunch of this 50,000 feet in Arizona, over 80 million feet throughout the U.S. Best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man. Do it right now. This is a great time to do it because you mentioned the Jeff Horvitz Show when you do this. Normally it's 30% off. He's throwing in an extra 5%. 35% off. Call or text him right now, 928-318-6555. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555, or go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. Okay, real quick on this interest rate thing. So they're expecting mortgage rates. There are many people who are predicting it could go as high as 8% coming up. We shall see. Oftentimes these predictions are wrong. I'm surprised with, and you know, you've heard from Kelly Broaddus here that the median home price in Flagstaff, I think, is like $680,000 now. Mark Howitt was saying that he thought in Sedona it was like in the upper 900s. And I know Prescott, I know Verde Valley's gone up a whole bunch. It's gone up everywhere. It makes a big difference on that interest rate. Just think about, let's say you had a $500,000 mortgage just maybe a year and 4 months ago. That payment for $500,000, $500,000, that payment at 3%, which many of you hopefully, fortunately, locked up that low interest rate, that payment was about $2,100 a month for principal and interest. That's before insurance or impounds for insurance or taxes and this and that. $2,100 a month. I mean, for a house that's probably $600,000 or so, you get into a pretty decent house in most places throughout Northern Arizona. That's also known as rent. That's the amount people are paying. People are paying more than that for rent on a four bedroom house now. They're probably paying $2,500, $3,000.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So now you crank this up and now interest rates are about 7%, let's say. I got my little handy tool here.
Dang.
So 7%, you go from 3% to 7% on $500,000. What do you think the payment is, Olivia? Just give me a quiz.
Wait, what?
What do you think the payment per month will be with that interest rate increase?
I don't even know if it's more or less.
No clue. So. It's going to be more because the interest rate's higher. We're doing basic economics here. $3,300.
Oh, why would you want to invest when?
Well, because you got to buy a house. You got to buy a house. Well, you got to buy a house. So people are still buying houses. Now they're paying 7% interest. The payment goes from $2,100 to $3,300 per month just in the past year. So now if interest rates go up again to around 8%, then your payment's going from $3,300 to $3,600, almost $3,700. So again, to sum that up, people are paying $2,100 a month on a like a $500,000 mortgage when they're getting these 3% interest rates. And now, and potentially, it could be up to as much as $3,600 per month. That's before insurance, taxes, and all the other stuff. You're well over $4,000 per month with all that stuff, I'm sure. So it's a dramatic increase. And I'm surprised that hasn't impacted the housing market yet. I know it's impacted people's pockets. This is all a symptom of and a reaction to the inflation, which again, I spent a lot of time talking about last hour and what Joe Manchin was saying and highlighting all the spending the government's done and we as taxpayers and citizens have allowed them to do. It's all related to that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens coming up. Target's profits have taken a hit after the controversial pride display. Target CFO's Chief Financial Officer, Michael Fedelic. Not sure how to pronounce that, noted, quote, traffic and top line trends were affected by the reaction to our pride assortment. It was the reaction, the decision that you did to put this front and center in the beginning front of many stores. They've had a $14 billion stock loss, and they've had their first quarterly drop in sales in many, many years. They saw a quarterly drop in sales of 5.4%, and they're attributing it to, well, part of it was inflation, but also, like I just quoted, said, hey, this is because of the reaction to this, the pride arrangement that they put out there for swimwear in the beginning of the summer and this and that. $14 billion stock loss. Remember, Bud Light has seen an absolute disaster. They're laying people off at different places and stuff because of their dabbling in the transgender issue and all that. So I hope these woke corporations are learning their lesson, but I'm not sure. All right, let's get to some comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I think I glanced at these, so this is going to be pretty raw here. Let's see if I can get a good response, a good reaction. Olivia, go ahead.
All right, I love your reaction to this one. Yeah, this is Gina. I love listening to you, Jeff, but I don't want you to sound like an idiot when you're talking about Teslas. My Tesla's base price was $33,000.
Yeah.
I paid less than half for my Tesla than my husband paid for his truck. Most of them on the road don't cost over $100,000, only the Model S and Model X. Model 3 and Model Y are priced well under $100,000, which is why so many people are driving them now. It costs less to buy a new Model 3 Tesla than a new charger to replace my old charger, and no gas.
It's a good-looking car. I'm looking at, and thank you, Gina. Yeah, sometimes I could sound like an idiot. I could be misunderstood to sound like an idiot, right, Olivia? We were talking.
Well, when you assume that someone is reading your exact brain, and then you listen, and you're like, huh, I did not get my point across well.
No, I think, well, I didn't listen
you
back.
You probably also didn't know what I didn't hear it.
You and Gina have a conspiracy. Did she promise a ride in her Tesla? That's a good-looking car. I like Teslas. I know I was ripping on electric vehicles pretty hard yesterday with Mark Howitt, and then Bruce was in on Monday. Bruce Sillinger owns two Teslas. I believe both are the – I'm on Tesla.com right now. He has the Model X, which I looked up. Yeah, it comes up like the DeLorean, the doors and this and that.
Get so annoying so fast.
It's a cool car. Look, this is a cool car. I do like, and I just lost it. Let me go back there, Tesla.com. Did you ever drive in it? Did you drive in Bruce's car?
Thing accelerates. Drove to a restaurant or somewhere.
Yeah, it accelerates like crazy. It's a fun car. It's got tons of tech in there. It was over $100,000 though. It's a very expensive car, those higher end models. But yeah, I do see what you're saying, Gina. And I think Mark Howitt yesterday on the program did say there are lower entry level models, I guess you should say, or base models that are like the 40,000 range. The Model S, for example, is popping up here in the like 33, but that's after you get like the $7,500 tax credit. I think they have the EV tax credit. So I think it's fair to say it actually costs $40,000, but yeah, out of your pocket. Yeah, you're picking this up for 33, 30, right? 35, 36, 37 with taxes and all that. No, it's a good car, Gina. I mean, I just think that you got to know what you're getting into. I think that's the point that Mark Howitt was trying to make. And Bruce, who owns two Teslas, and he also owns, I think, one of those Bolt, those Chevy Bolts or whatever. And he might have even had one of those Chevys back in the day when they first started messing with electric, like in the early 2000s,
well,
they had a model.
I've heard him say before, like, because I remember a few years ago when he, like, was so proud of it, and he was like, I liked it better when I was the only one that had it.
Yeah. When he bought his two Teslas, I think he said it's a 2017 model. By the way, it's still sitting in front of the studio. He's got to get it towed down to the Tesla dealership down in Phoenix, which I'm sure he'll do, because you can't. That's my point with this, Gina. There's no dealership in Northern Arizona. Not yet. Maybe there will be someday. And you got to go to Phoenix. I think it's a great car. I think it's a great commuter car. I think it's a great traveling car too, probably if you can plan it correctly. But like that story we shared with that guy who bought the Lightning, the F-150 Lightning in Canada, and he couldn't get to Chicago. This Model S, well, I'm seeing some at 100,000, 84,000. But I did see some at 40.
I would never choose a Tesla.
No,
I don't really like them. I mean, they're
like
cool.
I think they're cool. I mean, the display is cool, and it's got the self-driving thing. Now the new ones look like they have like the yoke on an airplane going on. So no, it is a remarkable car. So don't get me wrong. I don't piss people off that spent, you know, 30, 40 or up to six figures on their Tesla, because it is a fun car. But I just warn people, and Bruce, who owns two and has owned these for a long time, is warning people, Olivia, that this is not like a traditional gas car. You have to make accommodations. You have to be more patient. And on the service side, it's going to take a lot longer. I think that electric cars probably have a bright future in the car inventory for a certain segment of the population, and mostly commuter type stuff, or people like hobbyists that want to go really fast, like 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, because it throws you back in your seat. And Gina, maybe we can get you to come on by and park it next to Bruce's here, and we'll compare all the features and stuff. I'd love to see your Tesla as well.
You can, like, ride it.
There's a lot of them, though. When Bruce got it, he was the only one. I mean, I see them all over the place now. But
I said before, Owen, like, counts it.
Yeah, he counts every morning Tesla. He's fascinated
by it. Which is a little bit old by now, because he's
every day.
Tesla. I'm like, okay, great. It's Tesla number 10. Wonderful,
it's
Owen.
It's like when I was a kid, we played Herbie for the VW Bugs every time you saw one.
That's what she said last time when I said this, too.
Yeah, we had that deja vu all over again. Except Herbie was not as high tech. It had that rubber band motor in the back of the car. You know, that Volkswagen. All right, Gina, I'll try not to. Unfortunately, I think tomorrow I'll be talking some more Tesla and EV stuff on the show. So maybe you should tune out, Gina, just so you don't get angry with me. All right, what do we got, Olivia? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
I have a comment from Gary in Sedona regarding the last indictment. Hi, Jeff. I think we were witnessing.
Of Trump.
I don't know.
It's Trump.
Yeah.
He gets indicted every
Unless
other day
means
now.
Unless he the last.
The last one.
Last, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Jeff. I think we're witnessing what happens when the madness we have seen over the last 2 years finally makes it into the places of power. Madness is the places of power. But anyways, Franklin said, quote, a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
Well, we've proved we weren't up to it.
Yeah, we haven't been up to it so far. Gary?
I'm
losing my brain power here as the week wanes. I know I've heard that that was Franklin. Benjamin Franklin's attributed with that quote. I've never found the actual source of that one, but still sounds like something Benjamin Franklin would say. I've researched that one before. Very wise guy. I've read a couple of his autobiography is well worth reading. That's up on my bookshelf. Can't remember the name of that one.
I read his autobiography once.
You read that one too?
Only because Well, it was partly that. It was like a autobiography choose thing. But it was because I had a nice stuffed animal named Franklin, and so I liked the name.
There was no other reasoning in that. I would love that. If I could get in a DeLorean and go 88 and go back in time. There's a lot of people I'd like to talk to, but Benjamin Franklin would be pretty cool to hang out with for a couple days and just chat with and, you know, pick his brain. Very smart guy, you know, just incredible. The founding fathers knew because they saw this before. This is nothing new. I still have the Tesla on my screen here. We're much more high tech. We've got all these bells and whistles, and when it comes to technology, we've advanced so far in that degree, but we ain't really any smarter than the people I would even question, as far as general intelligence, we may have gone down a couple notches. The founding fathers, you know, and anybody during that era had to read a lot. You know, they didn't have all the distractions. And, you know, what an amazing time when these people came together and came up with the best system that we've seen on this planet thus far. But yeah, we are the beneficiaries of this system. We're the ones that are supposed to every generation protect it and fight for it, because you're just a generation away from losing all these freedoms. The Constitutional Republic and the Bill of Rights is one of the most important documents out there. But here we are just blowing it. And I just think right now there's just not enough people that give a dang and that care and that want to fight for it. They're either just distracted by everything that's going on and all the luxuries in life, or they just, whatever, just take it for granted. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, so it's like, what would...
I wish more people
what
set
would he
up.
Think? And all those kind of people think.
No, they probably...
I think they would, if they could go into the future, they would shake their head sadly and be like, I'm going back to my own time.
Yeah, I'm going back, yeah. After, you know, they would probably look at it and say, yep, I told you. That's what I expected. I'm surprised you lasted that long, right? I mean, still save it, but it's getting pretty late in the clock here, late in the game for people to wake up. And here's what I fear. I fear that... highlighting the financial side of this stuff that I was talking about last hour, people are comfortable. So we're not anywhere as civil as they used to be back then, right? Although they did tar and feather some of the British, so they had their moments as well. But we're not anywhere near as civil or kind and calm and patient as we were even just a couple generations ago. I think what holds it together now is the money side of this, is the comfort that people have in America. We have the door open. I hear the sirens. They're probably coming for us, the re-education camp.
Oh, yeah. They're here.
Yeah, they're finally here. The money side is keeping us all together right now, I fear, because we're comfortable. We live a comfortable life. Everybody's living in historical relative terms. We're living in plush times still. I fear that if we don't get our house in order financially, the one thing holding us together, which is that the money side of things right now, or keeping us from tearing each other apart to a greater degree, that could really come unglued and people will lose it, is my point. People will really lose it, because it's kind of like a couple that's still together, not for love, but for money. And the money runs out, they're divorced. They're
yeah,
gone.
Exactly. It's like yeah, 3 minutes later.
3 minutes. Yeah. It's like, oof, get me to that lawyer.
I feel like there's a specific example, like right on the edge of my mind.
Okay. You think about that. But before we do that, when we come back, you can tell me all about it. Think hard. Hey, if you want to have take a second set of eyes on your portfolio, if you want to talk with somebody who I think really shares a lot of the same values as you, call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. I never tell you how to invest. I can't tell you. I won't tell you. You got to do your own research and talk to as many people as possible. And Glenn's one of those guys that I talk to on a regular basis. I do invest with Glenn myself, just for full disclosure, have some money in a couple of his different portfolios. Why don't you give him a call and have him look at your portfolio? Second set of eyes, like I said, free complimentary consultation, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Also, if you go on the YouTube page or my podcast, look up Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, just last week, just on Friday, we did have a market update with Glenn Least. We talk about ESG, environmental social governance. I think that's well worth listening to. And like I said, again, call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones. And of course, that's where they're going to send you. And that may cause delays and it may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Right on 4th Street in Flagstaff, repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips. And by the time we got back to Flagstaff, it was pretty much, you know, spiderwebbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, Gina, I still got this Tesla video scrolling on my screen. Now I'm liking this car more and more. It looks pretty cool, I think.
It's repeating and loops. Yeah, and so loops.
If I can pick it up for 40 Gs and self-driving, I think that's the biggest feature. Going down to Camp Verde would be a breeze. Just sit there. I could do the show.
That's true.
Do the show for an hour while you're driving.
You just go there. Charge it for the weekend or whatever.
Assuming that the entry-level models have to self-drive, or the assisted drive. I didn't look into that.
And also that it wouldn't be, like, destroyed on the road down there.
The horrible northern Arizona roads.
One side is paved, like, partway through now.
Yeah.
Well,
we're too busy sending money to Ukraine to fix their roads after
to look
they get
a
bombed. Yeah, they're probably driving around.
The roads look like they were bombed.
Probably driving around in Teslas over there by now at this point. There's probably a bunch of warlord gun runners running guns down to who knows where with all the money we're sending over there. Who knows? All right, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. On the electric note, just a quick one here. The Texas Tribune put this out, state grid operator, because it's been a pretty hot summer in Texas, and they're still dealing with that there. State grid operator asks Texans to reduce energy use Thursday after afternoon as demand spikes, so today. This is the second voluntary conservation notice issued this summer by ERCOT, which hopes to lower electricity use and avoid tight grid conditions amid an ongoing heat wave. I bring this one up because as I watch the Tesla driving by, and as we have the government pushing the manufacturers to go electric, to the point where Ford has lost like billions of dollars, and these companies are all being pushed into electric. Consumers will probably be pushed into electric too, unless this thing all unravels in the meantime. You have to wonder about the state of the grid. If we want to do all this electrification and switch from petroleum, switch from gasoline, we better figure out a way to get more power generation going. Where are we going to get this electricity? If you got warnings
it's not magical.
Yeah, it's not magical. Where are you going to get the electricity from if we don't have it now, if when it gets tight? So Texas right now, and we've seen this happen in California, we've seen this happen in a lot of places, the grid is sucking up a bunch because people are using air conditionings. Maybe in the winter they're using a bunch of heat. Plus, the government wants us to electrify our homes too, the appliances, the heaters, all of that stuff. What's the plan to get more power plants? I'm seeing the opposite. I see here in northern Arizona, the Navajo generating station was shut down. So in pressure on Joseph City to shut that down, I'm seeing a country that's getting rid of coal power plants. They don't particularly like natural gas either. They don't like anything other than wind and solar. That's not going to do it. Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to have an hour extra with Bruce Sidlinger. He stayed late. When was that? Monday. And we talk extensively about nuclear power and how, you know, the grid and things like that. So I think that'll be well worth listening. But where's the power going to come from is my question. When you got country like China building power plants all the time because they know they got to power their future. So come on, you want electric vehicles? You got to build more power plants.
If I didn't know better, I'd be like, oh, there's no way they'd promote all that with having some grand secret plan in mind. But yeah. I do know better, and nope.
Yeah, well, they might just be, they're probably just incompetent, but then the tinfoil hat side of me just figures, well, you switch to electric cars, we don't have electricity, and the electric cars are so controlled, you just say, oh, here's your allotment. Olivia, mm-hmm. You can only drive, this many hours this month because, we just don't have enough electricity because, I don't know why. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, you get that new Tesla. It's okay. As Gina said, maybe $30,000, $40,000, maybe up to $100,000. Move your feet. There's a barrier here.
You're kicking me. My feet, your feet are hanging
way over here. I'm trying to talk about insurance here and you're distracting me.
I'm trying to sit.
You're trying to relax. Anyway, you get that brand new Tesla and it's like 30 grand, 40 grand, maybe 100 grand. You want to have insurance for that thing. And you want to work with a company that is responsive. And that's been for me and Angela, we switched over to them. We've been switching policies over for a couple of years. I've been trying them out before I brought them on the show, and they're gracious enough to come on the show. And I want to share that with you because Eric and Lisa Boatner with Allstate Agency in Flagstaff has done a great job for us, saved us some money as well. Why don't you give them a call? Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency, 928-774-8722, 928-774-8722. They handle just about anything you throw at them. Home, auto, motorcycle, RV, off-road vehicles, boats, business owners, life insurance, and more. Again, 928-774-8722. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
You know, it is a beautiful time of year to take just a nice 30-minute drive from Flagstaff West onto I-40 to Williams. And why don't you pop in and say hi to former Mayor John Moore at Miss Kitty Steakhouse in downtown Williams on Route 66. Miss Kitty Steakhouse features a huge variety of steaks. I absolutely love their steaks there. Every time I go out to Williams, I stop by Miss Kitty Steakhouse. I've also got a great selection, great menu of poultry and fish. And they're open from Monday. Oh, they're open every day of the week from Monday through Sunday from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, don't forget to check out Miss Kitty's Steakhouse breakfast menu. First class breakfast between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. all throughout the week as well. For more information, you can go to MissKittySteakhouse.com. That's MissKittySteakhouse.com. I know it's busy Friday and Saturday nights when everybody's going out to see Old Town Williams right there on Route 66. Why don't you call for a reservation at 928-433-5889. That's Miss Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams on Route 66.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
I hear the thunder rumbling.
I know. Speaking of thunder.
Speaking of thunder. Da da da.
Hurricane Hillary.
Ooh, the band's suit.
Forming off the coast of Mexico. And then, like, heading into California. And then, not the hurricane, obviously, but, like, heavy, very heavy rain.
Okay.
Could be coming down into Arizona, especially southwestern Arizona. One site said some places in southwestern Arizona could be about to get around a year worth of rain.
So like a half an inch? you know that area, and it's that, okay, southwestern Arizona, you're talking like Yuma area and stuff like that. But
that's true.
You know, like Lake Havasu, and then that area that you drive through when you go to Laughlin, where it looks like the driest place on earth, where there's like a... You see, like, a couple weeds out there?
Mm-hmm.
It can't rain very much. They're going to get, like, a couple inches, probably. It is a lot.
Actually, I didn't really think about that when I read that, because when you picture a year's worth of rain, and it happens, the door is open, and it happens to be raining outside, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of inches of rain.
Yeah, you're talking.
I didn't really consider that.
I think Flagstaff gets 20. Whenever I say this without looking up, somebody's going to email me and call me an idiot or something, but 20, 22 inches, something like that. Yeah imagine if we got that in one day. It would be quite startling. And I've seen it, I think, just recently over the old Schultz fire burn north of Flagstaff. I thought they had gotten 3 or 4 or something inches of rain within like an hour or two. This was a couple weeks ago. So we can get those incredible downbursts. Okay, Hurricane Hillary coming up the Pacific through like Baja, and is it going to hit? So it hit San Diego area. Is it going to hit as a hurricane, or is it going to be a tropical storm at that point? Or they're not sure.
They're not really sure, but they know it's supposed to be a Category 3
out
by
there.
The end of the day.
Yeah, that's out at like probably southern Baja down there, out of the ocean. That's pretty good size hurricane.
Pretty bad.
Yeah,
and
okay.
That's why
I
mean, even though it might not be like that much rain. Everywhere is saying very heavy rain for
very
Arizona.
Heavy rain. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, well. That's weird. Why Why is there a hurricane coming this time of year? What is causing that, Olivia?
I was wondering that too.
Yeah, I wonder. And so
I read into this because I was really interested.
Which article are you sourcing? Which article?
This was Axios.
Okay, so
I think they have an actual answer.
Yeah, because as a citizen of Earth and the United States, nowadays everything I demand to have an answer for as to why it happens.
I want to know it now. This in the future.
Yes, so what is causing this hurricane?
Human-caused climate change is leading to more frequent and intense extreme precipitation events, and it is also causing wetter tropical storms and hurricanes. In addition, it is making rapid intensification of such storms more common.
Intensification. That's a good word. It's intensification. Okay, yeah, because I've noticed that Baja and especially Southern California, they're getting hurricanes like every week. I think, right? I mean, I'm trying to think back. Let's see, San Diego, they get hit at least every 3 days or is it every week?
It's getting more common.
Yeah. How often? When's the last time this happened?
About 80 years ago. 80
years ago. Okay. So this is, we're getting this hurricane and they're happening more frequently. It hasn't happened since in 84 years, I think I read something like that, that a hurricane, it's like a hurricane, number one, category one.
Somebody had probably just dumped a lot of trash into the ocean or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. So
it set it off.
84 years ago would have been back in the, where are we at? 1940s approximately off the top of my head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 1940-ish. Yeah. Something like that.
39.
So I guess, yeah, climate change was already, I remember all the headlines, climate change. Actually, we went through that period where they said global cooling was coming. I think that was into the 70s and early
80s. Oh,
that's
so, right.
Yeah, they flipped these things. So yeah. Okay.
Freeze
so
to death, burn
of
to
course,
death.
Of course, if you're reporting on a hurricane anywhere, anytime, it has to be man-caused climate change. It has to be. I mean, we've never gotten hurricanes before. I haven't heard about, there's ancient seafaring fleets, I think the Chinese dealt with this, that went out and hit massive storms and had their fleets wiped out by hurricanes. Maybe because they cut down some trees. Maybe aliens were around then and they had some kind of like coal-fired ships out there at the time that just got wiped away and we don't see because of all the climate change. I don't know. Maybe it was something like that. Maybe that actually makes more sense than
it just being, natural. Yeah.
Maybe that's what caused the climate change back then and caused hurricanes, because we didn't get hurricanes until, until Al Gore came around or something like that. It's disgusting in the so-called journalists out there. I did read a couple articles and they resisted the urge in some of the corporate media out there to throw in climate change because there's
I'm
a hurricane
sure it
coming.
Take
it
was too
must
much
have been very hard.
Now.
Yeah, it must have been very hard. But I mean, come on, get over it already. Not every hurricane. You stop explaining everything because of climate change. We get hurricanes, and I said this yesterday, Mark. The years, and there's usually multiple years, 2-3 years in a row where you don't see a lot of hurricanes in the Gulf and Florida, this and that. And I don't hear you guys saying, it's just so quiet. It's so quiet. Yeah, I don't hear reporting on that every 3 seconds. I don't hear the media in Phoenix whining about how cool it's going to be coming up and how much rain they're going to get. They only whine when it's hot for, supposedly 30 days in a row. It just gets old, and you're losing your credibility rapidly when you blame everything on climate change. So bottom line, Hurricane Hillary, Clinton, is coming through the Baja, and it's going to be pushing a bunch of moisture up into Arizona. I can see it. It's thick out there right now. Bring it on.
Lucky I like the rain.
Yeah, bring it on. I was actually going to go out this weekend coming up. I did pull a firewood permit for Coconino National Forest. I pulled one for Prescott National Forest as well. But I haven't gone out yet, so I'm hoping
fire cutting in the rain.
Yeah, if it's just a light drizzle, I'm fine with that. If it's just kind of cloudy, because then you can get some wood cut and it's cool. And
I have bad news though.
What?
I don't think we're going to be able to wood cut anymore because
climate
change means that we're going to have to do a fire this year when it snows. Oh wait, it's not going to snow. That's right. But if we did do a fire, there's going to be smoke going up in the air, and then there's going to be another hurricane.
coming
our way, and we're all going to die. Earth's going to flood.
You could picture the smoke going up. It comes out and it just starts swirling and forming a hurricane over our house
because we dare
to burn wood. Yeah, I think I'm doing a service and helping the federal government that owns way too much of our land. They control way too much of it. We just gave them more with that Grand Canyon national monument. So another 1 million acres of, well, they had control of it already. Now it's just a higher level of control. I think they have way too much control. They should be, they charge $20 for their permit, which is fine. It should almost be like, hey, could you please take this and go clear some of the wood out of the forest so we don't have forest fires. I've said this before, a national move or push for people to go out and buy chainsaws. You can buy gas or electric. I don't care. Gas or battery. I use the gas one still because I'm out in the forest and I need to fill it up quick and I don't have time to recharge it and I don't want to buy 15 batteries. But anyway, we should have a national push to, if you live in forested areas, to take advantage of those national forests for two reasons. One, to clear them out. People get out there and clear them out of the undergrowth and dead down and all that stuff. Two, for exercise. We've got a little bit of an exercise problem in this country. And three, for energy and self-sufficiency. You can, hey, you get another winter of 15 feet of snow, you can stay warm.
Solution.
Yeah. You plug in too many electric vehicles, or the government says all your heat's going to be electric and then the power goes out because there's a drain on the grid.
It's like, throw another log in the fire.
Yeah. I'm not going to give out my address. I mean, I only have enough room for maybe my neighbors and my immediate family to come warm up and be able to cook their food if we don't get our act together. We might get swamped because I don't know how many people have wood stoves left, Olivia.
Yeah, I don't see the smoke rising from any chimney. Yeah,
that's true. When we're going out, it's like, hey, I don't see a lot of homes with the, they have a chimney, but it's like they ripped out the wood stove a long time ago. They got gas. Yeah. You might have a gas fireplace, which is fine, I guess. But a lot of those you can't even operate without electricity as well. All right.
And it's not like,
yeah, you're going to have trouble.
It's not real
heating
fire
the house.
In the same yeah. way. So.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, hurricanes coming.
Oh, yeah.
Not the end of the world. It's not climate change. We just get hurricanes. They've been coming for a couple years now. It's been a while, though. It's been 84 years or something. I think we'll survive. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. All right, call the Blind Brothers if you want to get some new blind shutters or shades. Talking about something real you can do to help the environment by, you know, using less energy. That's your windows. Your windows lose a tremendous amount of heat and cooling and all that. Call the Blind Brothers. That's what Angela and I did. They came in, they measured everything up. They gave us a great selection of new blinds, shutters and shades. They have all that. Great price. They came back, they did the installation. By the way, when you call them, make sure you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show so you can get up to half off of installation. Let them do the installation. You don't want to be messing with that because they're going to come out funky. Blind Brothers will come in and take care of all of that. Give them a call, the Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. That's the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. Back in a minute. Final thoughts.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Malls, is a place that I've been going to for a long time. And Rob and Elise Wilson, the owners out there, they come on this program to talk about the Second Amendment, to talk about firearms and much more. Now, this is a great facility just north of Flagstaff with an indoor shooting range. What I also like about them is they have a lot of courses. That's not just for expert level, but they have that as well. But they've got their intermediate handgun training. They've got courses for new gun owners. And I know there's a lot of new gun owners out there, their first shots program. Why don't you go to their website right now and check out the training opportunities coming up. Sign up for one of these courses at timberlinefirearms.us, or you can call them up right now, see what training availability is out there at 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Enjoy their great indoor shooting range. Check out their Liberty Safes, their firearms, their ammunition, all their accessories. Plus, hey, ladies, don't forget, $11 gets your range time on Thursdays, and that includes a gun rental. You just got to buy the range ammunition. Stop on by Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Here's one more I forgot, Olivia. The Biden administration, Senator Sinema kind of really brought this out and is yelling at the top of her lungs on this, Arizona senator here, one of them. Biden administration gave New York City $104 million for migrant crisis. illegal immigrant crisis, and only $24 million to border state. That would be Arizona.
So question, when it's migrant crisis,
yes,
are they like giving it to the migrants or giving it to someone to get the migrants out?
Well, I think this...
With him, I could really see option A happening.
Yeah, well, that's true. This is actually like housing, the amount of money you've heard about New York City hotels that they've been housing. They've been getting illegals up to New York. People have been shipping them in and stuff. And it's the actual hotel room. So some of these hotel rooms are $400 or $500 a night. So they're requisitioning the hotel rooms. That's not all of it. And I don't have all the details of all the expenditures, but basically it's things like that, shelter services, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, here in Arizona, which is a border state, which a lot of people go through, obviously illegally, our border mayors, like Yuma, for example, and other places, they're stressed and strapped with financially. So yeah, New York gets 104, Arizona gets 24, but that's the way it goes. And then Ukraine, remember, gets 113 billion.
Maybe if we could pass,
keep that,
like,
money flowing, baby.
I mean, since it's so easy to confuse him, we could like pass off like all these states as like foreign countries, and then they'll be like, oh, okay, we can help you.
We can send you more money. Yeah, if Arizona was not part of the U.S., we'd get more money, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
You'd get more assistance.
I'm sure we would.
If you want to save some money, go stop by my good friends at Just Wireless. Zach and his team can get you a great refurbished phone, which is another way that you can be good to the environment. See, these are real things you can do by getting a refurbished phone, by turning in your old phone, by taking your existing phone to Just Wireless and getting the charging port fixed or the battery fixed or the cracked screen, keeping these things going. See, those are real things. Not this, hey, we're gonna put up some shield over planet Earth and shield us from heat or something, or the war on heat that Hobbs has. No, go to Just Wireless. They're going to take care of you, get your phone fixed, get great accessories, get great refurbished phones as well. Just Wireless, two locations in Flagstaff. All right, stay dry out there. It looks promising. We shall see. You never know with the weather.
I know. I can't wait for this weekend, though, if it does rain a lot.
We can't predict the weather, but we can predict climate change.
And stupidity.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast. Look up Jeff Horvitz on YouTube or your favorite podcast provider. Share it. Subscribe. I appreciate everyone out there. Take care. See you soon.